Turn of your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 27, one scripture. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can come into your house and worship you. Lord, you are a great God. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the life of this church, life of our people. God, take all the things that we do, Lord, good and bad, and you work them out in our lives to get honor and glory for you. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We don't like to talk about April the 15th, do we? You know why we don't like to talk about April the 15th? It's tax day. We have to have those taxes. That's an appointment we do every year. I've been going through the same routine on about April the 13th or 14th, right before tax day, for the last 60-something years, just about, it seemed like. But you know, we have appointments. Many of you know what doctor appointments are. We have them on our calendar, and when I ask you to do something, you would say, well, preacher, wait just a minute, let me see if I got a doctor's appointment that day. And you write that down because you need to make that appointment. I've got an appointment this week with a dentist. I hate to go to the dentist, but you know, that's one of those things that we go through. You have to be drugged to do that. Well, the Bible says you have an appointment of death, and we don't like to talk about death either, do we? But the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. It is an appointment for man once to die. But after this, the judgment. A man was reviewing his life and he said, you know, in my life, for the first 20 years of my life, my mother would say, son, where are you going? For the second 20 years of my life, my children would say, Dad, where are you going? For the next 20 years, his wife would say, where do you think you're going? And he said, soon in my life, people will ask, I wonder where he went. You see, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. One man said he would get up in the morning and look at the newspaper and read the obituary column. You ever do that? I did that, and one day I found my name in there, and I thought, man, I died last night. But then I got to noticing he was a lot older than I was and from a different town. But he would get up in the morning and read that obituary, and one morning he found his name there in the obituary. He went on to work and he called his best friend and said, hey, I looked in the paper this morning. Did you look at it? He said, yeah, I saw your name there. He said, yeah, my name was in the obituary this morning. He said, can I ask you a question? He said, what? He said, where are you calling from? One day, and it won't be too long, it just seems like yesterday that I was a little child like these kids here. I remember those days well. And you know, it hasn't been long. And one day, we'll spend our life in eternity. We'll move from time to eternity. A man asked me this question this week. He says, when I'm gone, who's going to pay all my bills? And I said, it won't be you. You know, you don't have to worry about that. You move from time to eternity. Where will you spend eternity? You move from today into forever.
forever.
Now, most of us have our days planned, amen? You got your calendar planned out this next week, every day, just about it. But, you know, it reminds me, this passage of Scripture says, I have an appointment. I don't know when that appointment is going to be, but I know that somewhere out there, God has have an appointment for me, and I will make that appointment time. It's not a philosophy, folks. That is a reality. We're going to die. And God reminds us that Jesus Christ is the great high priest, the Holy of Holies. He's there in heaven today. And before the altar of God, he's offered his own life. He's offered his blood for the sacrifice of our sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. And just as man is destined to die once, after that death, we will face judgment. Now, you realize that your time on earth is a very small part of life. If you look at all eternity, and that's the way God looks at it, there is no just little old bitty spot that he looks at. We look at, man, I was born in 1952. That's right there on the calendar. And somewhere down here, well, let's see. I'd like to live a long time. But anyhow, down here somewhere, God sees my life over. Now, after that, he says, I will spend an eternity somewhere. In heaven or in hell. There is no in-between. That's just the only alternatives we've got. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you believe that he lived, he died, he shed his blood on Calvary's cross to pay for your sin, then we will have everlasting life with him. If not, the Bible says, you'll spend an eternity in a place called hell. Now, God doesn't want you to go there. As a matter of fact, he's done everything possible to make it a way that you can escape. You see, we are sinners. We're sinners. I might be just a great little child down here, but I was still a sinner. We're born with a sin nature. Christ went to the cross. Even before I was born, he died on the cross that my sins might be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ if I ask him to. Do you know that the first action of Jesus Christ, what it was? Matthew says, as he came from the wilderness, he came preaching repentance. Repent of your sin and turn from your ways. That what repentance means? It means to turn or change your mind. You see, before he did all the miracles, and Jesus did some wonderful miracles, before Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead, he preached repentance. Because he knew that was the most important thing that we need to do is to turn from our sin and turn to him. And then he says, preach the word. You see, he gives us a commission in our life to preach the word. Now, what is preaching? Well, some people say it's enthusiasm. I can remember growing up in the 50s, late 50s, we had preachers in our church. You know, those old preachers, it was hot. We didn't have air conditioning. And we had wood pews, and sometimes they would lay set pillows down there to sit on. Most of the time, as kids, we just had three hard 1x4s to sit on. And boy, that preacher would get up there and he would start preaching and he would start sweating. I got a little fan blowing on me. It sure feels good. But he didn't have that. Man, he would sweat. I can remember Mr. Clark. He would sweat. Boy, he was like me when he started sweating. It just run off. And he would sling that sweat down and it might get on the front people. Nobody wants to sit on. That may be why nobody wants to sit on the front pew at Baptist Church. But he was slinging that sweat and he was spitting. You know, He was a huffing and a puffing, and he was preaching, boy. He was preaching. Everybody said, man, that guy can preach. And it was enthusiasm. But that's not all there is, man. There's doctrine that needs to be taught. And we have to preach the word and scripture and what the scripture passage means. And Brother Clark was good about doing that. I know he was. But he preached against sin. And I remember, man, he scared us little boys to death sometimes because, you know, he would get right there and point at us, and sometimes we were being a little bit on the bad side, and when he got to calling our name, that meant we were in trouble. But boy, he preached the word of God. He told us about sin. He told us about hell. He told us that we didn't want to go there, and he would herald forth the message of truth of God, and he would say, thus saith the Lord. And when he said, thus saith the Lord, it was coming out of the word of God, and that truth that he told us was non-negotiable. You see, you don't negotiate the truth. When Jesus says a certain thing is going to be that way, it's going to be that way. I was telling Brother Bill, we spent the night together the other night down at the home place, and we were talking, and I told him, you know, God told old Hezekiah, he said, Hezekiah, you're going to die. Oh, Hezekiah, when the prophet left, he got on, he pleaded with God, and he said, Lord, I don't want to die right yet. And he gave him 15 more years. Well, he wanted 15 more years. God gave it to him. And then at 15 years, Manasseh was born. Manasseh was one of the worst haters of God that could be. He had children killed and burned alive and everything like that. He was a wicked old king, and he was born to Hezekiah in that first, in that 15 years that God had given him. He was 12 years old, the Bible says, when he came to reign. Now, granted, he changed his ways in the last and started living for God, but let me tell you, Amon was born. His son was born. And the Bible says he did worse things than his father. And I've told Brother Bill, you know, it would have been better if Hezekiah just went ahead and died according to God's plan instead of begging him for 15 more years. You see, God's got a perfect will for our life. And when God says, thus saith the Lord, and declares a certain truth that is non-negotiable, and he says, repent, ye sinners. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, prayer in our life changes the way we think. Prayer lets us talk to God. And in our lives, people, we need to change our priorities. We put everything before prayer, don't we? We put everything before going to church, don't we? We put everything before being obedient to the word of God. And when we say repent, we need to change our mind about our priorities, change our mind about our values in life, change our mind about what we're doing, and let Christ start living through us. Because this life in this world, the Bible says, is temporary. And soon, one day very soon, I'm going to stand before the one I serve and give an account of my life. One day, soon, you will stand before God and give an account of your life, what you did with it. And since death is inevitable, we need to rethink about what we're doing with our lives. How we live our life. What we do each week. What is the most important thing in your life? And then, what is the question for the church or for an individual to ask today is this great truth It is appointed unto man once to die and then to judgment, is a call for us to examine our own priorities. What are we to do with our life? What are we to do as First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City? See, the big question is not how many do you average in Sunday school? Preachers will ask me that all the time. They want to know what we're doing. How many of you average in Sunday school, preacher? How many of you run in your attendance, preacher? And I guess those are pretty good questions. Are you reaching your budget, preacher? Most of the time we say no on that. But you know what? Those are insignificant questions, aren't they? That doesn't really count for nothing. The greatest question is, are you reaching the lost for Jesus Christ? Nobody ever asked me, says, how many did you baptize last year? And that's what I always want to tell them. Listen, this is what's important. How many people are we winning for Christ every year? As a church, it ought to be our priority to win souls for Christ. As an individual in your life, how many people have you won this year? Have you witnessed anybody? Have you told anybody about Christ? How many of your family members are they lost? Do you know that? You see, we need to know that. We need to know what we're doing for Jesus Christ. Pull these glasses off and I can't see nothing. You see? I've got two brothers left living and one sister. And you know what? They're all saved. Praise God, they're all saved. And if they wasn't saved, I'd be camping out on their doorstep just about every day saying, why don't you get saved? You know, I want to spend an eternity with you. Don't you really want to do that? Now, I wonder if we know how our brothers and sisters in our life are. They're going to face judgment if we believe what the Bible says. And you know, if they die without Christ, it's sad, isn't it? There is no hope without Christ. Now, I don't know if you've done that or not. I don't know if you've shared with them or not. It's your duty to share with them. You cannot win them. I had one brother that he was on the wayward side. He was kind of like the black sheep of the family, but we loved him, and I still love him. He'll do anything for you. And I've got to say that I'm witness to him, and he has accepted Jesus Christ. And, you know, I always worried about that. Did you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? And he told me one night when we was down at the farm and we were sitting there together, I said, Gary, I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I want you to spend eternity with me. And he said, Booney, I know Christ. I've accepted him. And he's changed his ways a whole lot. Praise God. He's not perfect, but neither am I. But we're saved. And if you've got a brother or sister that's not saved, pray for them. You witness to them, you tell them about Jesus Christ, and you pray for them that the Lord will come into their life. That's what you can do. But that ought to be a priority. What about your wife or your husband? What about the people sitting next to you, your friends that you go out with? Have you witnessed to them? You know that concentric circles say, start with your own family, right here, the ones you know in your family that are lost. You witness to them, and then you witness to your friends, and then you witness to your neighborhood, and right on out, you see? You keep witnessing. You keep telling somebody about Jesus Christ because there is an appointment. Then we stand the judgment. We don't like to think about that, do we? We got to thinking, and we think, well, you know, I see old lost person here. I know he's lost. I'll witness to him tomorrow. We don't like to think about it. He might die tonight. I was watching ABC last night. It could happen in a moment. And we rewatched the Aggie bonfire as it fell years ago. And there's 12 of those young college students that died that night. Boy, that was sad. Mothers and fathers had talked to them on the phone that morning, and that night they were dead. And you say, yeah, that was a tragic accident, but you know what? I see that every day. I see people that I've talked to on Sunday morning, they've headed out to work on Monday and been killed in a car wreck, and that was the last I got to talk to them. I'm so glad that I was able to share with them Jesus Christ. Why does death frighten us? My dear old uncle was one of the finest Christian guys you'd ever see, and he had cancer September the 2nd, about 10 years ago, and I went over to see him, and he said, "Booney, you know what?" I said, "What, Joel?" He said, "Death is a frightening thing when you know you're going to die." He said, "I didn't think about it until the doctor told me I wasn't going to make it through this. Cancer started eating up his stomach, and it was turning to what they call like a football, just a piece of leather, and there was no turning it back. He was almost gone before he realized it. Within a month, he was gone. But as he lay in that hospital every day, he had to think about. Some people said, "I'd like to know when I was going to die." No, you wouldn't. But he had to think about that. And he said, "You know, it is a frightening thing, and I can understand if I was lost, how frightened I would be." But he said, "I'm not really frightened for myself. I think about my family going to be without me." And he had two girls and grandchildren. He said, "But I know they'll be all right. God's made that promise." That frightens us, don't it? Because we don't know what's out there. Now, we know that if we trust Christ, he promises us a place, and that's great. We know that. I believe with all my heart, heaven is right around us. We can't see it, but I know it's there. I live by faith, not by sight. I trust what the Bible says, not what some people say. You see, the Bible is a fact about reality, but there's a possibility that the Bible also says that some of us may not die. Wouldn't that be great? Way I see the world coming, I believe every day that it may be getting closer. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so we will ever be with the Lord. Now that is the rapture of the church. You and I may be living in the last days. Our world is in perilous time, and I see right now there's a great falling away from the church, and there's a great falling away from the Word. And if you turn over to Timothy, you'll see that the people nowadays want you to tickle their ears and tell them sin's okay. You know, there's no such place as hell. Just go on and live it up and have your life and don't worry about it. God's going to take everybody to heaven. Well, that's not what it says over in Matthew. He says he'll divide the sheep and the goat. And he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," to be cast into the lake of fire. Oh, well, preacher, you don't actually believe God's going to send us to a place. God's not going to send you there. You're going to go there because you choose to go there. See, Matthew 25, let me just turn over and read it. It is a passage of Scripture. These people that say, "Oh, there's no, everybody's going to go to heaven." I don't know what book is Matthew. Brother Bill knows those books now. Matthew, first book of the New Testament. Trouble is, pages are all stuck. Let me read this to you. For people who say, "Well, you know, there's no hell. Everybody goes to heaven." Listen to what he says. "When the Son of Man comes," he's talking about at the end of time, "in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." That's in Matthew 25:31, if you want to know. "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He's talking to those who have trusted him as Lord and Savior. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer to him saying, Lord, when would we do all of these things? When did we see you as a stranger and you take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did you see you're sick or in prison and came to you? And the king will answer, I say unto them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as it did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. You see, he's talking to his people who trusted him as Lord and Savior. And he said, you're blessed. Welcome into heaven, the kingdom of God. But what about those that everybody's going to heaven, that don't matter who you serve or where you go to church or not? Let me read you this. They overlook this. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, it was prepared for the devil and his angels, but if you do not trust him, he says, depart from me, you cursed. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty. Right on down. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, folks, if that don't scare you, boy, something's wrong with you. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of those righteous, the ones that will go into the kingdom of heaven and live forever there. I don't want to go into eternal punishment and live forever there. The Bible says, listen to this, Revelation 20:11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. Then I saw the dead, the great and the small, come before his throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as was recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades also gave up the dead in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And it's not talking about your works. It's talking about what you have done with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have an opportunity this morning to say, yes, Lord, I want to come to you. I want to trust you as my Lord and Savior. I want to change my priorities. I want to change my life. I want to give it to you. I want to go to heaven when I die. Or you will sit there and you will turn away and say, Lord, not today. And tomorrow you may die. Listen to what he says. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written within the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's a reality. These people that talk against the Bible, these generations we have today, society says that's foolishness. Well, let me tell you something. He says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This Word of God is not just a book. It is actually the living Word of God. And if you would read it and you would spend some time in it, you would see that everything that's happening today is right here. And it was written long before these people that says they know different ever came along. I've told this situation before. It's a good illustration. I see young men every day come to our church and watch them grow up as babes like these. A young man was about to graduate, and an older gentleman said, young man, What will you do after you graduate? He said, well, I'll tell you what, I plan to be a doctor. I'm going to go to college and I'm going to make a doctor. And he said, oh, that's good. What are you going to do after you graduate? Make a doctor. He said, well, I'm going to get married. And he said, well, that's good. He said, what then? What are you going to do after you get married? He said, well, I'm going to, me and my wife, we're going to have children. We're going to build a nice house, and we're going to work. We're going to live. He said, what are you going to do after you do all that? He said, well, the American dream is to make a lot of money and retire. He said, what then? The young man said, you know, I guess I'll die. All of us do. And the old guy looked at him and said, what then? What are you going to do after you die? The Bible says the judgment. The judgment. Where are you this morning? Jesus says, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. You'll find me if you search for me with all your heart. General Eisenhower, most of you know who I'm talking about, President of the United States, was on his deathbed. He was going to die. He called for his friend Billy Graham to visit with him, and of course Billy went to see him, visited with him, and he started to leave, he said, and said, Dwight Eisenhower said, I want you to answer a question for me, Billy. He said, what's that? Do you think an old sinner like me will go to heaven? And he said, Billy Graham said, Ike, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And he said, yes, I did that. You asked him to come into your heart? He said, yeah, I did that. He says, then the best I can tell you, according to the Word of God, you'll go to heaven when you die. And he said, Graham, that's just what I thought you would say. Because that's what the Bible says. God opens the door of heaven only to those who come through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the only way to eternal life this morning. I don't know if you're thinking, well, if I go to church, I get my name on the church roll, I'll go to heaven. That's not the case. You must have it in the book of life. And the Bible says the only way to do that is come to Christ. Repent of your sins. That means to turn your life around. Change your priorities about life. I love God. I don't like sin anymore. It bothers me when I hear someone curse. It bothers me when I hear someone take the Lord's name in vain. The Bible simply says, he who hath the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not life. What then will it be for you this morning? Life or death? Eternal life or eternal death? One of the two. What then? It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that right now we have an opportunity. If we're not saved, then to come to you and trust you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that needs to make a decision for you, let them make that decision before it's too late. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand?